Hello, welcome to Half Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will eventually be about travel or understanding various locations or genealogy, but right now I'm really focused on completing this series. Only knows. I don't know how and when I will complete it. I've been working on it now almost a year. I am focusing on a part of Quebec history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi. So if this is your first time joining us, know that we are now on episode number 62. There are 61 ladies we've profiled so far. Have a look at the playlist on the channel and you will be able to see if I featured one of your Filles du Roi. If I haven't and you'd like me to, please in the comments below, let me know one lady that you'd like me to feature. That would be awesome. Otherwise, I just kind of pick from a hat. I also want to let you know that I do have a website, Have Roots Will Travel. I'm on Facebook, Have Roots Will Travel. And I also have a Twitter account. And you feel free to write to me as well at lisa@haveroots.com. Love to hear from you. I get so many suggestions, so many really interesting comments. Absolutely enjoy hearing your comments. Thank you. All right. And don't forget to subscribe and click on the notifications alert so you get notified when I post new content. All right. Let's get started. Regular viewers of my channel know that I produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, that lists all the ins and outs of the program. So have a look at that if you're new to the channel or and want some more perspective on what your ancestor would have gone through. So with that, let's announce who is our Filles du Roi that we're featuring this week. I've been doing so many of other people's. I looked in my files and said, oh, there's one of mine. Her name is Anne Rebédie. And of course, I looked to see who else has her as a grandmother. And of course, the boy next door. And I share this same great-grandmother as well. So let's get to know Anne Rebédie. This is a woman of mystery. I just posted the picture of France. I think she's born around 1654. I'm pretty sure based on, you know, when she gave birth and things like that. Her parents are unknown. We don't know anything about her life before she came to New France. Let's have a look at her voyage. So we don't know why she came. We don't know anything, but we know according to several sources that she probably arrived August 3rd, 1672 on the ship called the Nativity. That's all we know. We don't have a dowry. We don't have any information. So we know she got here somehow. So the groom that she selects her, his name, Antoine Lecueillard. He's born in 1648 in France. We again know nothing about him. We know that he shows up on the 1666 census as a domestic. And again, in the 1667 census as another domestic. That's all we've got. So let's see when they get married. So we still don't have any records. We don't know. And one of the reasons we don't know where they come from is that there's no marriage record. Remember how many times I keep saying how important that marriage record is? So we don't know when Antoine and Anne were married. I have a hunch that Anne was one of the ladies who went on to Trois-Rivières, and it was here that Antoine scooped her up sometime in 1672. That's what I think. So, because they ended up in Betisca. So let's go and see where they ended up. Let's talk about that for a minute. So here's where the family settles in Betisca. And, you know, it's no surprise to me that this is my heritage because most of my family comes from either Betisca or Saint-Geneviève de Betisca. And that's where my roots are, my really, really the deep roots. And the history of Betisca begins with our old friend Champlain, who met up with a native named Betisca in 1609. And by 1612, he had named this area Betisquam. And by 1636, the seigneury was granted to Jacques Laferte, at which time it was called Madeleine. By 1639, it was divvied up again and given to the Jesuits. Hence, the area did not really grow until 1666, when settlers began to arrive. Prior to 1670, the inhabitants met at the home of Lieutenant Nicolas Rival de Living, who happens to be one of my great-grandfathers. Wooden chapel is constructed in 1684, but the parish of Saint-François Xavier de Biscay is formed at that time, 1684, and that is when you'll get the parish records, which is one of the reasons we don't have records for this couple. They were such an early pioneer. And you can see here, in the 1681 census, this is the 1681 census, he is 33. Anne Rabardi, sa femme, 27. His children are Marianne, Antoine, Madeleine, Charlotte. They have one gun, 5 goats, and 10 arpas, or about 8 or 9 acres. This is the church that exists there now. Obviously, it was not part of when they were there. And this is just an aerial view that you can see Biscay, how close it is to the river. And it really has remained slightly unchanged from when it was. It's not an urban center. It really is farming and very simple rural life in Quebec. So Antoine and Anne would have 11 children. Let's go. Now, my direct line is Marie-Anne, and she married Jacques Tifot and had 12 children, 10 of whom would survive to adulthood. And 2 would become my great-grandfathers, actually. So my line is a really strong line in my family. Antoine marries Marguerite Gayou and had 10 children, 10, and all of whom survive. Marie-Madeleine married François de Broglieux and had 3 children, 2 of whom survive. Pierre married Charlotte, dies at 5 years of age. Sorry, I missed that one. Pierre marries Marguerite Gaillon and has 10 children, 8 of whom make it. Marie-Charlotte marries Nicolas-François Herberg and had 6 children, 5 of whom make it. Nicolas marries Marie-Catherine Morin and had 8 children, 6 of whom make it. Then we have Marie Catherine, who marries Joseph Rochereau and had 5 children, 2 of whom make it. Paul did not marry, and Marie-Louise also did not marry. So it's just a very interesting, amazing, actually, the amount of children and the amount of children that their children have. So note to self. Antoine would pass away at age 74 on April 30th, 1718. When he passed away, Anne and Antoine would have been married 46 years. And, you know, by 1729, Anne would go on to live, you know, another 29 years. But by 1729, she's like getting on in years. And she said, okay, I want to sell my property. So she divvies it up amongst her family. And, presumably would have lived with one of them. And she would die at the age of 93 on September 5th, 1747. The moment she died, the fille du roi, the last living fille du roi, died with her. She was it. She was the last living fille du roi. And for that, it's just truly a remarkable life. A lady from nowhere marries a man from nowhere, and they go on to produce a life that has substance and all they had. I believe between them she would have lived to see in 1729 the number of descendants 72. Not too bad. And you know, she really did live an exemplary life, and for that we thank her. And I certainly thank her, because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Anne. And the boy next door, he wouldn't be here either. So we really thank them for their contribution and their longevity and all that they contributed to the history of Quebec and North America. And with that, I bid you adieu and au revoir until the next time.